It's here and now, and I'm in New York City today, the financial capital of the world, or at least one of them. It's got some competition these days. But either way, we have brought in three of our regular guests who cover business to talk with us about what we might be missing. CNN business reporter Maggie Lake is here with me in the studio. Hi, Maggie.
Hi there.
We're also joined by Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. Hi, Derek.
Hi, Jeremy.
And Jill Schlesinger, business analyst for CBS News. Jill, great to see you.
Great to be with you.
And before we get to some of the business stories that we want to talk about, we have to note that it is tax day today, Jill, April 15th. You are a certified financial planner. What should people do if they have not filed yet? And how many is that at this point?
About 7%, I guess, of people haven't filed yet, give or take. File 4868, that beautiful form that gives you a six-month extension to file your taxes. However, here's your caveat, ladies and gentlemen. Uncle Sam will give you 6 months to file your taxes, but not to pay them. Hmm. So you've got to estimate what you owe for 2014 and make sure that you send your Uncle Sam 90% of that liability. Otherwise, you are going to get hosed with fees and penalties. So, I mean, this is really important, and don't hide. And also, if you do file and you don't have money on hand to pay the bill, the IRS offers a lot of different ways that you can negotiate with them, pay it over time. You can get an extra 4 months to pay. So there are a lot of resources
there. You filed already, I assume.
Duh.
Have you all filed already?
Yes.
I filed.
And do you use accountants or do you do it yourself, Maggie?
Best money I ever spend. I will never do my taxes myself.
You use an accountant, Derek?
I use an accountant.
And Jill?
Yes.
All right. Okay. There we go. We've established that. Now, let's talk about business stories because we bring you on each week. All of you to talk to us about some of the stories that are going on often in the world of business and economics. And I want to hear from each of you about what story you're seeing in that world that we're not maybe paying enough attention to, we're not paying as much attention to as we should. And I'll start with you, Maggie Lake.
For me, it has to be robots. I think that we see them all the time and we know they're in manufacturing and everybody's obsessed with drones. But I went to visit Carnegie Mellon and MIT to see exactly what was going on. And they're so much further along than we think. This is not just somebody on a factory floor. These are going to be sort of independent, moving in hospitals, in classrooms, sort of taking on roles that were traditionally roles definitely done by people. And I think people that have jobs that don't feel at threat. It's not all bad. It's not all negative. There are some real opportunities there as well. But I think we're kind of focused on one small manufacturing part and we're missing the sort of larger picture and we're missing the opportunity to have a debate about it, get some sort of regulations in place that we all feel comfortable with and educate kids so that they'll be able to compete with these robots.
We're thinking maybe if I work in manufacturing, if I'm on an assembly line, yeah, maybe my job will be taken by a robot. But if I am an accountant, it won't.
That's right. And I think we think, oh, maybe it will, but not yet. But they're so much further along. I mean, they're already testing robots that can do surgery. They're dispensing medicine in hospitals. They're in classrooms. And I saw these children interacting with them. They don't care that they're robots. They think it's fabulous. There's a need they're going to fill, and they're pursuing this. And a lot of the people who are doing the research are very optimistic. They think this is great, that we're going to be able to free people up to do much more interesting and creative work. But I think there's a danger if we're not ready for that change. We're not prepared for it. We're not investing for it, that we're going to be caught off guard and you're going to have sort of a lot of ethical issues that haven't been answered. So it's super fascinating, but I don't think we're having as robust a discussion about it as we need to.
Derek Thompson, your story. What are we not paying attention to that we ought to be?
I think if there was going to be a book written right now, this year, about the state of the global economy, you would have to call it The End of Inflation. And I see that there are sort of three concentric circles of this end of inflation. First, across the developed world, you have low inflation, very slowly rising prices, not a lot of froth. This is true in Japan. It's true in Europe. It's true in the U.S. It's even true in China to a certain extent. Inflation is below their expectations. This creates a second problem. The second concentric circle is wages. Wages tend to rise when inflation is high, when there's a little bit of pressure on the economy. In the U.S., we've seen pretty healthy job creation over the last year and a half, last 2 years, about 200, 260,000 jobs per month.
But stagnant wages.
And I think it's coming from this larger problem of inflation. The third concentric circle of inflation is deflation, and actually going right back to this point about robots. I think that we're at a point right now with information technology in addition to robots that is having a downward pressure on wages on prices across the board. You see it in entertainment, where now you can watch hours and hours of video entertainment for free and not pay $90 for cable. You see it, I think, across retail and transportation and warehousing, enormous parts of the U.S. economy that are being made more and more efficient because of technology. And so you have low inflation and even deflation affecting the modern economy in a way that I think is really interesting.
What can be done about it?
Because
obviously
not
just central bank action. That hasn't seemed to reverse what you're talking
about. You can have more aggressive central bank action. You can even have this is a little bit of a dream world, but you could have fiscal stimulus. That certainly gets – right, exactly. That gets money into people's pockets more directly than giving it to banks and hoping they lend it out to businesses. But the reason I think it's an interesting story is that it's not all bad. Cheap stuff is good for consumers. Cheap oil is certainly good. Cheap entertainment is good. Cheap food and clothes are great. But when you have low inflation, lowflation across an economy, it is bad for rising wages. It is bad for people's sense that they're working to get ahead. And that is a little bit pernicious.
And it is bad for retirees because health care costs are inflating.
Yeah.
And there is no stopping it. And so if you are living on a fixed income and you are facing a 6-7% annual increase in inflation, but your COLA, your cost of living adjustment, and your Social Security is pegged to an inflation rate that's only 2%, this is really critical. And so you've got – I totally agree that you've got a low inflation or disinflationary environment. You've got wages stagnant, and you've got a lot of people who are going to face inflation in certain parts of their lives that could really impact how they live.
Why are healthcare costs still going up like that and against the trend that we're seeing in the rest of the economy? Is it just because we're getting smarter, we're getting more expensive technology, and therefore we're just spending more on procedures and things like that?
We had an Affordable Care Act that brought more people into the system but did absolutely nothing to control costs. And so we're waiting for the Affordable Care Act Part 2 that actually addresses costs. And that's going to be a problem.
Okay. Jill, well, let me get to your story that we're not paying enough attention to.
First of all, did anyone else besides me think about Rosie the robot on the Jetsons when Maggie was talking? Because that's what's going on in my mind. Okay.
They look incredibly similar, even more sophisticated.
If you recall, Rosie had a great apron as well. Okay, I'm wonking out on you a little bit. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York, every single quarter, releases one report that everybody should really pay attention to. It's called the Household Debt and Credit Report. And I think this is actually the key to the U.S. economy strengthening in the next year. And the reality is we are borrowing more money and we are slowly building back to where we were. We are still seeing debt balances 6.7% below where we were at the peak. I'm not saying the peak was great, but it is showing you something that's very different since the Great Recession, and that is that people are spooked by debt. And until they feel more confident in their wage growth, in their ability to get a new job, in the ability for the economy to kind of prove to them that that past is behind them, keep your behind in the past, right? Then you really are going to see some strains in the economy. I think one other thing you should take a real hard look at, that outstanding student loan balance of $1.16 trillion with a T, not getting smaller. Delinquency rates for auto loans and student loans are worsening. I think this is going to be an issue.
But to your point about low debt loads, could that be – and I'll bring you in, Maggie Lay – could that be why inflation, as Derek was talking about, is at such a low level? Because people are still – and institutions and businesses are hoarding cash still. They're not going out and spending this money. They don't want to be as risky as they were before the crisis.
To a certain extent, I think the inflation, I think that's global. You know, that's being driven by wages, by the presence of China in the market. What's interesting in all of this and not realizing there's a thread through all of this, whether it's what Derek's talking about, inflation and wages, or Jill with being afraid of debt, people feel incredibly disenfranchised from the economy. They feel like this system is rigged against them. They are fearful of their future. And I feel like you're going to really see that come to the fore in the election. There's a reason Hillary's already out saying, I need to be your champion. People are incredibly frustrated. They think that all of the money is going to the top, whether you're a stockholder or a CEO, and they're being left out. And they are fearful that their jobs are going to be taken and that technology is happening and they don't understand it. So these are very important, and it's creating a sort of a dislocation we haven't seen yet.
I want to just ask you quickly, and we've just got a minute or so left, but is there a trend going on here in New York? Because we're here in New York this week. Is there something going on here in New York that we should be watching? Maggie.
I think it's the rise of Brooklyn, the shift away from financial services. Etsy's going public. They're born in Brooklyn. A lot of jobs are being created there, and they're trying to sort of – New York's trying to redefine itself and embrace this sharing economy.
Derek?
New York is getting younger, smarter, and more diverse really, really quickly. This is the number one city for college graduates, particularly of elite schools, but it's also the city that is being evacuated the fastest by native-born Americans. So you have this remarkable thing where you have this tremendous influx of young people, but older people are leaving the city very quickly.
Jill.
This is the city of income inequality. It is shown in skyscrapers that are casting shadows over Central Park, purchased by oligarchs and people who live outside of New York. Probably the most depressing trend for someone who was born here in New York, like me.
Fascinating. All Jill Schlesinger, business analyst for CBS News, Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, and Maggie Lake, business reporter with CNN. Thank you to all of you for coming in. It's such a pleasure to have you as part of the Here and Now family each week. We really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jeremy.
For having us.